So I saw the opening night of the musical The Color Purple at the Goodman Theater last night, and I realized this morning I'm singing the song to myself, which is not from the musical. Take me to church, dum bum bum, because I'm not a religious guy, but man, y'all took me to church last night.
Thank you.
That's the script, right? That's not just your work on it, or that's the combination.
That's the combination.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 19th year, number 970, The Color Purple. Brian Arzell is the choreographer for the current Goodman Theater production of The Color Purple, directed by friend of the pod Lillianne Brown, and it's a hugely powerful and entertaining production with a magnificent cast. Brian and I talked last week, the morning after opening night, and I was thrilled to discover that he and I shared feelings not only about Chicago actors, but about the power of this musical adaptation of Alice Walker's novel.
We have that in common. I'm also not a religious person, but have always been a spiritual person. Yes. But that's the message of the show. The message of the show is, I mean, it sums up right into that song, The Color Purple. God's in the flowers, God's inside of you. God is everything. God is not this thing that people made up. Like, God is something that is present in all of us. And so that is how we are connected to each other. That's connected, how we're connected to something higher. And so the whole show feels like church. I think that's why it starts in a church, because one thing that I love about this show in particular is the way it approaches spirituality through Celie, and how that is how she is able to persevere, is for her connection to something beyond, right? That's what connects her to hope. That's what connects her to joy and all those things. And so, I mean, when reading the book, like all of these, the whole book are letters. They're letters to God and they're letters to Nettie, you know? And so how can you... It's present, it's written, it's woven in there from the source material.
And one of the things that's lovely about the piece, and I don't know the novel as well as I should, but she curses God and ultimately, spoilers, finds a form of God, finds her divinity within and finds our interconnectedness amongst people, which I thought was a lovely conclusion, especially being not a religious person looking for the divinity within as opposed to without.
That's the message, you know, or one of, I should say, is that it we're always looking for something magical or something outside of ourselves, but really all the work, that connection starts within, you know, and that is how, when we do that, that is how, especially we learn to empathize. We learn to humanize events. We learn to have care and concern for others outside of ourselves. Once we understand that comes from something within us, you know, that we have to do that work. There's not some omnipotent power over us, like deciding everything that happens, you know.
I was so looking forward to seeing this on stage because I'd never seen it on stage. I only saw the film version I saw both films, including the film version of the musical. And film is such a literal medium. And I found I was put at a distance when I saw the film about God works in mysterious ways. And I went, well, that's a horrible message with all the pain and hardship that our characters are going through, even in the first couple of minutes. But but in the live performance, there's a theatricality and there's an irony in that, yes, all this hardship is happening, but we are still going to praise him. And it can be read ironically. So I found it beautiful and theatrical in a way that I did not in films. I think it's the power of live performance, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing about, you know, about that is it really is honoring and our homage, or mainly just honoring our ancestry, you know, because we think about, when we think about our ancestors and the travel that they were forced to make and the things that they were forced to deal with when they got to this country, is like, how you think, like, wow, how did they survive that? How did they maintain joy? How did they find in the most horrendous circumstances, we still were able, and they still were able to hold on to some sort of hope and some sort of joy. And it's like, you have to. That's the only way you can survive. Yeah. That's the only way you can persevere through those times. It's like, yes, there is an option to just give up, but we have to be resilient, and we have to find that resilience in ourselves and within connection to community, you know, and that's what our ancestors did. That's how they were able, that's how I am able to be here, you know, and because of what they did. And I have to take that lesson from them. And also, you know, in the film, you know, we won't go too deeply into this, but but I thought the 1989 film, Steven Spielberg's film, was beautiful in many ways, and kind of like the benchmark for what this could be. And they didn't shy away from it, but they did have more of a stern hand when it came to religion and God. It was more literal. Mm-hmm. Ironically, in the film, it was more literal than it was in the book. And that's also because, you know, that's the mark of the times, right? It was the 80s. Of course, they were going to lean into that part of it. Of course, they were going to not show the queerness of the love story in its full detail because, again, it was the late 80s. Right. But with the musical movie, child, I don't know what happened there because they just totally missed the point altogether. So, like, there was no, the way in which religion played a part into that one was like, it was very confusing. And in a lot of ways, I feel oppositional to what Alice Walker wrote. So that's why I don't kind of refer to the movie musical of the movie, because that was not a movie musical of the stage play. It was.
I'm just glad to know it's not just me. That's all.
No, it is not. It is not. That's one of the things that, you know, sitting in the theater, of course, I was there when that movie was first released, and I was like so ready because I love this musical so much. But then when it started, I was like, uh-oh. Like, there were signs very early on, and I was like, no, what's this? And then it was like, oh, no, don't do that. No, don't take out that. No. So it was like, yeah, it's one of those things where, because I believe The Color Purple is such a beautiful book. Not just Alice Walker's book, but like the book of the musical. And the book and the libretto is so beautiful. And so the way they tell stories through the music and the music choices are so right. It's like, that's what the movie musical needed to be. It needed to be a movie version of the stage musical and not this weird hybrid thing that they did and taking out things and trying to put in other things. Like, you didn't need to put in anything. The story's there. It's there. Yeah. It's perfect. It's so good.
Yeah. According to the interview in the program, this is your third time putting this show on with director Lillianne Brown and musical director Jermaine Hill. What was different this time with this Chicago cast at the Goodman Theater in this year of our Lord 2025?
I mean, there's so much that's different, right? Because we... although we have kind of like a form or a way that we see the story and we want to tell the story, how the details of how that's being told always changes because we're dealing with different people. You know, we're not the type of team that go, okay, this is what this is, plot, learn this and do it. That's not how we work. You know, it's not a copy and paste thing. We go, this is what we're going for. And this is what we want. This is the story we're trying to tell. And these are emotions we are tapping into. This is the vulnerability that we need. How does that travel through these bodies? How are these bodies the vessel for that story? And so, of course, naturally, it changes. It should change because these are different people. These are different people with different voices, with different bodies, with different energies. Why force them to do something that we've done before? That makes no sense, because then it becomes, it's not real. It's not true. It's not these people telling the story. It's them mimicking or parroting something that happened before. And that's not the type of theater I like to make. I want to make art where my artists feel that they are organically and genuinely telling the story and not putting on something, you know? And so that's why it's different. And then when it comes to choreography, it's different because, again, these are different bodies. They move differently. They're at different levels, different skill levels than previous casts that we've worked with in many different ways. And so I always like to heighten that. And I always like to make sure that they feel their best selves through this movement in their bodies and at home in their bodies, opposed to like trying to force them to do something that wasn't made with them in mind.
I love it. How can we take advantage of the things that this cast can do? Have you ever had a Harpo who could scamper off stage like a werewolf before?
Well, what's funny is that there are three people that have done all three versions of our show. Okay. Harpo and Sophia, Gilbert Domley and Nicole Michelle Haskins. They've always been our Harpo and Sophia because it's like we'll give other people the opportunity, but it's like they're Harpo and Sophia. Sorry. It's just so one of those things where it's like this is their role. They embody it so beautifully. And Chantel Cribbs has been in every iteration, but she's played a different person every single time. and this time she was Nettie.
She was Nettie. Okay.
She's been a church lady. She's been, she's been just an ensemble member, another ensemble member. So it's like she's always been in the show, but playing. So like the joke is that she knows the entire show and she could literally be anybody because
everybody's lines. I love those three, pick a little, talk a little ladies.
Our church ladies, yes.
The church ladies. And these gals were fantastic. I mean, as written and performed.
Yeah, because they kind of serve as our little Greek chorus almost, because they're like they're our bridge from audience to show, right? Because they're the ones, they're the only ones that kind of break the fourth wall. You know, they are the ones that talk directly to us. Even when Celie has her monologues, her soliloquies, she's either talking to Nettie or she's talking to God, and we're just witness to it. But those three actually look out and like makes you feel like they're talking directly to you to let you know the gossip of what's going on. And they're brilliant.
And it cues us in as an audience that we're allowed to laugh. We're allowed to enjoy the story as it's being told in this way.
Hi, I'm Tyler Abercrombie, playwright of Relentless, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Yes!
Where can you RSC the RSC? This fall of 2025, we'll be touring all the great books abridged at various venues we'll announce soon, and the ultimate Christmas show abridged in Washington State at the Edmonds Center for the Arts on December 3rd and the Capitol Theater in Yakima on December 12th. Sign up for our newsletter or check out the touring page at our website, ReduceShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with choreographer Brian Arzell, whose production of The Color Purple runs at Chicago's Goodman Theater through August 3rd, 2025. You've worked with Lilianne Brown before, also as an actor, because I saw you in Hot Wing King, and I loved so much. And so I guess my question for you, one of the things I love about Lil's direction is the precision of her direction and how the comedy is so sharp. Everything is so sharp, but without losing the humanity and truth of the characters. So between you and me, she's not listening. She's never going to listen to this. How much of that is you? How much are you the secret sauce behind Lil's precision, her directing?
Well, we always joke that I'm like always an uncredited assistant director because we have such a kismet sort of connection with each other, because of the way we see theater is so similar. The way we tell stories is so similar. And so we have a way of like fusing together where it's almost like, was that your idea? Was that my idea? I don't know, but it's an idea. And so because even as an actor, you know, I feel, you know, that's family. That's not just my creative partner, but that's family. And so we talk about these things when we're just on the phone, or we talk about these things where we're just out to dinner. And it'll be about this show or about this show. And we like swap ideas and we just talk about those things. And we're like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. Or I'll, like, for example, I'll bring up something in tech. I'm like, that's not choreography. I'll be like, oh, that projection thing. What do you think? I think it should probably go. Does it feel? It feels a little, I don't know. It's pinging me. Should it go here? And so she's like, yeah, I thought that. But then I thought about that. And so I was like, no, I don't know. So she was like, she'd be like, oh, well, thank you for saying that. So now that makes me think I should. How I follow my gut and blah, blah, blah. And then she'll go back and put it. She was like, yeah, that was the right call. And so we have that sort of relationship. And even like when it's like choreographically, if something happens, she's like, what do you think about putting them down here? Because, you know, Lil is a performer. She was a dancer, you know, back in the day. And so she's always like, what do you think about pulling them down? And maybe they should go there. And then I'm like, yeah, let's see. Or she'll offer ideas and I'll try it out. Like, nah, I really think that. She's like, okay. Or I'm like, yeah, thank you. That's really good. And so we just have that sort of relationship where we have the trust and the kind of common language with one another where we can just say things to each other that may not be right in the moment, or, but we never take things to heart. We never, because we know that we have what our common goal is, which ultimately is just to tell the story. And uplift what's on the page. So it's never personal. And we know that even if it's something does come off, we'll be like, hey, that was kind of, and I'm like, oh, my bad. I didn't mean it. And we have it and we move on, because that's just the type of, we just have that relationship. And it's so beautiful to have that sort of trusting relationship with a creative partner that you're able to just say things and not feel stifled, not feel like you're walking on eggshells, or feel like you have to like, taper what you say in any way. It's just like, let's just have this open dialogue. Let's talk about it. Let's figure it out and then see what works best. What is really so brilliant about Lillianne and myself is that, and Jermaine, is how we create a room where the actors feel freedom to say and do and try and play and make bold choices. And then we sculpt out of that. It's like, what do you have? Go for it. And which is another reason why we love Chicago actors. And we talk about why this particular production is so special as well, is because I've worked in all these other places. And one thing I find that's uniquely special about Chicago actors is that sense of play and making bold choices. Chicago actors are not afraid to make bold choices. As where other places, you have to like push them to make those choices because they play it safe. Or, and you know, I credit that to this horrible industry that we are in that can sometimes, that, you know, at one time was very toxic and was very awful. And it was about, and shows were about the director, or the shows were about the creators and they weren't about the actors.
Right.
But because all of us have been actors before as a team, we know what that feels like. And so we don't want to create that sort of space for our actors. And so we give them the autonomy to do what they do. And then we go in and sculpt and fine tune and say, oh, that didn't work. This works. Pull back on this, put that here. And we're able to like put the puzzle piece together that way.
And in fairness to those actors, something that I need to remind myself about constantly, they might be timid because of the previous directors they've worked with who haven't been as welcome to their freedom.
And exactly. Because you go in there, especially with musicals too, like you go in there and there are people that are like, this is what it was. This is what I'm teaching. Learn it and do it. Yeah. You know, and it's like, but what about, and it's like, no, I want, or do this. I mean, I've been in those rooms. And so I know what that's like. And, and for me, that's like, it's like, okay, cool. Sure. You still have a good show, but think about what it could be if you let these actors be themselves and show up fully in this work instead of like cutting them off at the knees right at the top.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. The Color Purple runs at Chicago's Goodman Theater through August 3rd. Go to goodmantheater.org for more information. From there, the team of director Lillianne Brown, musical director Jermaine Hill, and my guest choreographer Brian Arzell go to Signature Theater in Washington, D.C. to mount Play On, the musical version of Twelfth Night with music by Duke Ellington. That runs from August 12th to October 5th, 2025. Go to sigtheater.org for more information. Then send us your musical adaptations via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks as always to Church Lady Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Stacy Grover. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Chicago playwright and actor Tyla Abercrombie, now appearing on NCIS Origins on CBS and Paramount Plus. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 970 2910ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. I hope at some point we get to run into each other, either in a lobby or on a stage somewhere. That would be
absolutely
fun.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Of course. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.